The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter number 10, texts number 7 and 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on July 3rd, 2009, in New Varshana, New Zealand.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 6, chapter number 10, Battle Between the Demigods and Vritrasura. Texts number 7 and 8.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So I will read text 7. There's no purport. We'll do the chanting responsively on the second text, 8.
Shri Rishir Uvacha Dharmang Vashrutukamena Yuyang Me Pratyudhaharita Eshava priyamatmanam syajanchams sanyajam yaham.
The great sage Dadhichi said,
just to hear from you about religious principles, I refused to offer my body at your request. Now, although my body is extremely dear to me, I must give it up for your better purposes, since I know that it will leave me today or tomorrow.
Text number 8.
Yo dhruvenatmana nata na dharmam na yashapuman iheta bhuta dayaya na shocha stavarayarapi. Yo dhruvenatmana nata na dharmam na yashapuman iheta bhuta dayaya sa shocha stavarayarapi.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. Purport. In this regard, a very exalted example was set by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Concerning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.34,
Chaktya sudushya jasarepshita raja lakshmim Dharmishta arya vachasaya gadadaranyam maya mrigam dayato yepsitamanyavdavad vande mahapurushate charanaravindam.
We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord, upon whom one should always meditate. He left his householder life, leaving aside his eternal consort, whom even the denizens of heaven adore. He went into the forest to deliver the fallen souls who were put into illusion by material energy. To accept sannyas means to commit civil suicide, but sannyas is compulsory, at least for every brahmana, every first-class human being. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very young and beautiful wife and a very affectionate mother. Indeed, the affectionate dealings of his family members were so pleasing that even the demigods could not expect such happiness at home. Nevertheless, for the deliverance of all the fallen souls of the world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left home when he was only 24 years old. He lived a very strict life as a sannyasi, refusing all bodily comforts. Similarly, his disciples, the six Goswamis, were ministers who held exalted positions in society, but they also left everything to join the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srinivasacharya says, Chakta turnam ashesha mandala patti shenim sada tuchavat budvadina ganesha kao karunaya kalpina kantashrito. These Goswamis left their very comfortable lives as ministers, zamindars, and learned scholars, and joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement just to show mercy to the fallen souls of the world. Dina Ganesha Kao Karunaya. Accepting very humble lives as mendicants, wearing no more than loincloths and torn quilts, Kopina Kanta, they lived in Vrindavan and followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to excavate Vrindavan's lost glories. Similarly, everyone else with a materially comfortable condition in this world should join the Krishna consciousness movement to elevate the fallen souls. The words Bhuta Dayaya, Maya Murgam, Daya Yepsitam, and Dina Ganesha Kao Karunaya all convey the same sense. These are very significant words for those interested in elevating human society to a proper understanding of life. One should join the Krishna consciousness movement, following the examples of such great personalities as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, and before them the great sage Dadhichi. Instead of wasting one's life for temporary bodily comforts, one should be always prepared to give up one's life for better causes. After all, the body will be destroyed. Therefore, one should sacrifice it for the glory of distributing religious principles throughout the world.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
So we are continuing with the wonderful theme from yesterday. We are reading yesterday the same idea. Yesterday, Prabhupada was calling on the exalted learned persons to sacrifice their life. So if we're not exalted learned persons, this verse, today's verse, could include us, those who are in a materially comfortable situation. Today he's asking for those people, you see. Yesterday it was the exalted learned people, and today his Baba is asking for the materially comfortable people to join the Krishna consciousness movement. So, New Zealand is one of those countries where everyone is materially comfortable, practically everyone. So that means everyone in New Zealand should join this movement. That is the request. For what purpose? To join, to elevate the fallen souls. Does it mean we have to live uncomfortably? Prabhupada doesn't say we have to live uncomfortably. He says comfortably but not extravagantly. That is the instruction. So the material comforts, that's all right. But we shouldn't be carried away by material comforts. We should perform the austerity of giving this Krishna consciousness to those persons who are in the deep, dense darkness of ignorance. It is sometimes a thankless task. Sometimes it's like giving milk to a poisonous serpent, actually, increasing his venom. We have to be careful in how we preach. As we were explaining yesterday, we have to be expert. How to give people just the right dose. You see, they don't overdose them in Krishna consciousness. Give them just what they can take, very nicely. If we take this approach of really trying to help the people, really becoming the humble servant, you see, of the humanity. The devotee, he is servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. He considers himself the servant even of the general population. You see. He's a servant of Krishna, he's a servant of his spiritual master, he's a servant of the Vaishnavas, and he's a servant of all living entities. Because he's always thinking, how can they be delivered? He's always praying like that for the deliverance of all living entities. Just like that wonderful verse in the fifth canto, chapter 18, text number 9, you see. Praying that everyone can become blessed with Krishna consciousness. That is the wonderful prayer, Bhagavatam prayer. So this is the mood of the devotee. He cannot tolerate the suffering of the living entities. This is what pleases Prabhupada the most when we're in this mood. I know from my personal experience, different interactions I had with Prabhupada. The greatest pleasure I ever, the time when Prabhupada was the most pleased with me, was in one letter back in 1972. The temple president said, okay, we're going to close down the temple and just travel and preach. But I was thinking, but Prabhupada, in my initiation letter, Prabhupada said, make our Austin Center a grand success. I was thinking, what? I have an order from Prabhupada to make this center successful. If we close the center, how am I going to serve his order? So I felt threatened by that idea to close the center, you see. That was a threat to my serving Prabhupada's order. I was thinking like that. So I wrote Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada, I don't think we should close this center. If they want to go, that's all right, but I'm willing to stay here and keep this center open if they think we should close it. And I explained to him, I said, Prabhupada, these people in Austin, there's so much suffering without Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was so happy I had written him like that. He was so happy. Actually, he chastised. He wrote one of those little areograms, you know, Prabhupada areograms, came back with a letter on the front and a letter on the back. And one was a letter to me, the other was a letter to the temple president. He chastised the temple president and he glorified me. Oh, the Tamil president was really mad at me. But I didn't mind because Prabhupada was so pleased with me. He was so happy that I was willing to stay there because the people were desperately needing Krishna consciousness. He was so pleased with me. The anger of the Tamil president, I was just all smiles. It didn't faze me at all. Because this is what gives Srila Prabhupada the greatest pleasure. We sacrifice our own comfort to give Krishna consciousness, to go out and distribute books, to travel and preach, you see. To go on Harinam Sankirtan, even though we'd rather do something else sometimes. We do this. We form this sacrifice, Sankirtan Yajna. And by doing this, because we're actually acting for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to relieve him of his anxiety, then Lord Chaitanya bestows very, very, very special blessing, you see. Lord Chaitanya is actually in great anxiety to see all these fallen souls caught up in karma chakra. It disturbs him like anything. It just rips his heart apart. He's so much in anxiety about it, to see all these fallen people caught up in nonsense. So anyone who takes up this mood, that wanting, as Prabhupada says to him, you see, interested in elevating the human society to a proper understanding of life, you see. Anyone who takes up that interest, that I want to elevate the human society, I cannot tolerate the people suffering like this, they become very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya. I remember one time we were leaving India, heading out to Hong Kong at the time. We were in the Delhi airport. And you know, they have the security people who frisk you, you know, make sure you're not carrying any weapons onto the airplane. So oftentimes they're pious, you know, very pious souls. So there was one very pious frisking agent. He was interested to see. I always traveled in a dhoti and tilak, you know, the full Hare Krishna look. And he was very happy to see I was practicing Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti. He asked, "How long have you been doing this?" I said, "Well, for 38 years. And then he got a big smile on his face. He said, "What does it feel like?" He was thinking I would say, "It's really ecstatic." He was just waiting for me to say, "Oh, it's so ecstatic." So I told him, I said, "It's really, really miserable. I feel really, really miserable," I told him, "because I see around me everybody is, the airport, you know, Delhi airport." It was a good place to say that, but I said, "I'm really miserable to see how much people are forgetting Krishna." And then he just smiled, had a big smile. He understood the point, you see. That Krishna consciousness, on the one hand, is the greatest ecstasy, you see. On the other hand, it's the greatest misery. If you become miserable to see people who are not Krishna conscious, then you're going to be miserable all the time. Because everywhere there's people who are not Krishna conscious. But that commiseration with the misery of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is actually brings one to the greatest ecstasy, you see. The other example, of course, is Prabhupada when he founded the Food for Life program, Hare Krishna Food Relief. They used to call it ISKCON Food Relief. When he founded that program, he saw the little Bengali children. See, the devotees would throw their plates. I guess it was banana leaves and clay pots. Yeah, they would throw that in a pile after they took prasadam. There'd be some scraps of, you know, little here, little there. So the dogs would come to, you know, scrounge through the garbage to get something to eat. And the little children were there fighting it out with the dogs, trying to get something to eat. And Prabhupada he was in tears to see this. He felt such compassion upon these poor children who were just scrounging, fighting with the dogs, trying to get something to eat. So this is the mood of someone. The more that one becomes Krishna conscious, the more his heart bleeds to see around him that everyone is completely caught up in illusion. confusion, illusion, delusion. You can't tolerate it. You just cannot stand him. And therefore he just sacrifices his whole life, even taking great austerities upon himself. He sacrifices his whole life to help the people to come back to their original constitutional position. Jivero sarupo hoi krishnera nitya das. Of course, one does not become a loser. One becomes the greatest gainer by taking up that mood of compassion. That is the mood of the Goswamis. That is the mood of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, even though he was a householder, even though he was engaged as employee of the British government, whenever possible, he would always take out on preaching. He would take leave from his work and go out and do Namahat preaching. He established so many Namahat Sanghas in Bengal and Orissa, you see. He would take every opportunity to go out and preach. Not, well, I'm a Krishna conscious householder. You know, I have my kids, I got my wife, I got my house, I got my job, and I chant my rounds. No. He was thinking every opportunity he could get out of that situation to go out and preach. He did that. He was very, very keen to go out and do preaching work, you see. So this should be the mood. Actually, Prabhupada is saying here that it's compulsory to take sannyas for every brahmana. And we're giving Brahman initiation to all of our men. But Prabhupada also said in another place in his books that if one's wife is Krishna conscious, then there's no need to take sannyas. So if you ladies would like to keep your husbands, then you must be Krishna conscious. Otherwise they are ordered to take sannyas. So there is some impetus. If you like your husband around, then you must cultivate pure bhakti. You must be very, very Krishna conscious. Then your husband will never want to leave you. Because he'll be greatly inspired by pure bhakti. Actually, Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles, he said the wife should not be called by her name. She should be called Devi, you see. That means goddess. And the husband, he should be called Lord. Of course, Prabhu is the same thing in Sanskrit. He gave the example of Lord Shiva and Parvati. He said, Vishnu Aradhanam Devi. He didn't call her Parvati, he called her Devi. That Vishnu, worship of Vishnu is the highest type of worship. You see. So, if she is actually goddess, that means she is cultivating pure bhakti very, very seriously. That makes her actually a goddess, you see, a Devi. And so such a wife does not have to be given up. Such a wife is a very great inspiration to the husband to advance on the path of Krishna bhakti. And of course, Prabhupada always gave the example of his householder couples. Ban Maharaj, you know, that godbrother Prabhupada, he was sent by Bhaktisiddhanta to preach in Britain. And he was not successful. For 3 years, he tried to preach in the UK with no result except for posing for some photographs with some British lords and ladies, and that was about it. And it's so much rupees. Can you imagine sending rupees, supporting somebody in Britain with rupees? I mean, it was a very, very expensive thing. For 3 years, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati maintained him in the UK with no result, finally calling him back. You see, he was a failure. But then when Prabhupada sent these three householder couples, Mukunda and Janaki and Gurudas and Jamuna, Shambhasundar Malati, along with Sarasvati, the little girl. So seven actually went. When he sent the six householder couples along with Sarasvati to the UK, they created a real revolution in that country that no sannyasi was able to accomplish. So whether one takes sannyas or one remains as a householder. One should be in this mood of sacrificing everything for pushing toward this movement. Those six householders, if you read what they went through in the UK, they went through great austerities to establish this movement in the UK. So we should, whether we are sannyasi or whether we are a householder, we must be in this mood. Actually, Prabhupada described the householders who are in that mood of surrendering everything for preaching. He said they are paramahamsa, the highest level of sannyasa. They are paramahamsa stage of sannyasa. So whatever ashram one may be, the point is, whether one is brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyas, the point is that one should be completely, totally dedicated to elevating the fallen conditioned souls of this planet back to their original divine consciousness, Krishna consciousness. In this way, one will become fully absorbed in Krishna bhakti. One of the insider secrets is this: the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So, how much do you want Krishna? Would you like a little Krishna? Or a little bit more Krishna? Or how would you like to have unlimited Krishna? What would you like? Unlimited Krishna or just a little tiny bit of Krishna? If you want unlimited Krishna, then you must devote yourself unlimitedly to giving Krishna consciousness to everyone. Jare de katarikaha Krishna upadashamara gaya guru hoyatare desh. That Brahman Kurma, he wanted to take sannyas, but Lord Chaitanya said, no. You stay at home, but you preach like anything. You deliver everyone, you see. So this mood must be there. Preach, 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 preach. Create a revolution. We are not meant simply to eat chapati and sleep, you see. We are meant to rise early, early in the morning. Not that I only come to only attend Mangal Arati if I'm offering it, you see. I'm seeing this sometimes in our temples around the world. Every morning there'll be one devotee at Mangal Arati, the pujari. There'll be a different devotee each morning. And that's the one time a week he comes for Mangal Arati when he's offering it, you see. Only one devotee. There's more deities at Mangal Arati than there are devotees in many temples. Just the pujari there, and then I'm there. My wife and I are there because we want to get out of Maya, so we get up and come to Mangal Arati. So actually, every devotee should come from Mangal Arati. It's Prabhupada's order. He said every devotee must attend Mangal Arati. So are we followers of Prabhupada? Are we followers of Maya Devi? Which is it? Is it Yoga Nidra or Bhoga Nidra? If we sleep through Mangal Arati, that's my question. Is it Yoga Nidra or Bhoga Nidra? So, in this way, we have to cultivate that mood of complete surrender to our beloved Srila Prabhupada, you see. The more we connect with him, the more we will experience Krishna. One of my readers on my e-course just wrote me, "Have you seen God? What did he look like? What did he say? What was your experience with him?" He said, "You're answering all these questions on this. And surely Krishna must be personally telling you all these answers. He's wanting to know all this kind of questions, you see. Have you seen God? Can you ask him to reveal himself to everybody?" These questions he was asking me. But the real fact is this: you cannot see Krishna with material eyes. It is not possible to see Krishna with material eyes. Krishna becomes visible through the order that we receive from our spiritual master. That's where Krishna is present. If you want to find Krishna, don't think that you can go to Vrindavan and wander in the bushes of Vrindavan and see Krishna in that way, you see. That is not how we will see Krishna. We will see Krishna by surrendering to the order received from our spiritual master, because that's where Krishna becomes visible. That's how he becomes seen to the devotees. He becomes manifested in the form of the orders received from the spiritual master. So whatever degree we've surrendered to the orders we've received from our spiritual master, to that extent, Krishna becomes visible to us. So in this way, we have Prabhupada's orders here, you see, to elevate, to take this Krishna consciousness movement, to sacrifice our life for pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. As he told his disciples, he told us in Los Angeles, he said, become guru and deliver the world. That was the order Prabhupada gave us, you see. Become guru and deliver the world. So we have to think like that every day. My duty is to deliver the world. You see, how can we do this? You see, how can I work as a member of this movement in such a way that the whole world will become delivered? We have to think like that, you see. Actually, if we have that vision, it becomes ecstatic every day. If we have that broad vision, then this, our activities become absolutely ecstatic. They never become dull or hackneyed or dry. There's a nice mundane example in this connection. There was one time, three men who were laying a brick wall, you see. And one gentleman walked by, he noticed these three men, and he was amazed. One of them was just like, you know, just like miserable for him, just laying the brick wall, you know. The other one was a little bit happy, you know, kind of okay doing it. The other one was just completely enlivened, putting these bricks down, just totally blissed out, putting the bricks down, you see. And the gentleman wondered, why do these three people have these different, they're doing the same exact activity, but in three different states of consciousness. So he thought, let me find out what's going on. He went up and talked to each of these three bricklayers. He asked the person, what are you doing? He said, I'm laying a brick wall. The second one, he said, what are you doing? The first one he said, I'm laying bricks. All right. The second one said, I'm building a wall. The third one said, I'm making a cathedral for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm building a temple for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see? So they were doing the same activity, but the one who had the broadest vision, he was tasting the nectar. I'm building a temple for Krishna. You see? So, vision will make you or break you in Krishna consciousness. What is your vision of what you're doing right now? If you're just maintaining, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, you know, some pious eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, a little chanting to purify it, your vision will not make you very happy. But if your vision is to revolutionize this planet, to create the greatest paradigm shift in the modern history of the world, you see, as an agent of Srila Prabhupada and your spiritual masters, you see, you'll be absolutely in ecstasy every day. Every moment will be the sweetest happiness for you if you have that vision, you see. So, it's up to you. It's up to every one of us how ecstatic we want to be. You want to be miserable most of the time, or do you want to be completely blissed out? That's our choice. So whatever vision we have of what we're up to, these activities we do every day, coming to the temple, bowing down, offering the prayers, chanting the japa, cleaning the deity's plates, going out, distributing books, mowing the grass, whatever we're doing here, teaching in the school, whatever we're doing, you see, if we have the vision of making a revolution on this planet for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, then you're going to be dancing in ecstasy 24 hours a day. I guarantee you, you'll be dancing in ecstasy. Your heart will be dancing in ecstasy. So in this way, if we understand what is this wonderful, these wonderful instructions that Prabhupada is giving us, and we truly dedicate ourselves to carrying them out, Maya will never be able to get us. Never. No matter what she may offer us, it won't be attractive, you see. Because there's nothing sweeter than this sankirtan mood of delivering the fallen conditioned souls. It is the highest ecstasy. You see? By this mood, one is already situated in the spiritual world. Already situated in the spiritual world. Going back to Godhead is not a big deal anymore. Once, if one has fully embraced the sankirtan mood, that's why Lord Chaitanya said, Nadanam najanam nasundarim kabitam vajagadi shakami mamajan manidan manishvade bhavatad bhakti rahai takitvai. I don't even need liberation from birth and death. You see. So if we take up this sankirtan mood that Lord Chaitanya is teaching us by his example, then we'll already be back to home, back to Godhead. We'll already be back to home, back to Godhead. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
I'm just curious, could you tell a little bit more what Prabhupada wrote in those letters?
What Prabhupada wrote?
In the letters that he wrote the Austin thing.
Well, yeah, he was really ecstatic, you know. Prabhupada gave me some wonderful mercy. At the time we were having, the temple was going through a difficulty. Actually, we had been evicted from our temple. And we were staying with one householder who had the tiniest house I've ever seen in my life. I mean, our temple room, I mean, it was a little bit bigger than the Vyasasan, but not much bigger. We put Tulsi worship in there, and you had to like squeeze like this to just go around Tulsi. It was like a closet, practically, in the temple room. It was, and so, you know, it was a rough time for us. But Prabhupada wrote a wonderful letter encouraging us. He said that he compared this to a person who goes to a very tight space and sits down and takes a seat in that very tight space and then gradually lies down and occupies the big space. Of course, there's the old humorous example of somebody on the Indian train, you know, who finds... There's a bunch of people sitting. There's a little tiny edge on the corner, and he sits there. He's in that little tiny corner of like a few inches. He kind of sits on that, and he kind of scoots over and gradually makes a big space for himself, getting everybody else to squeeze down. It's that kind of an example. Papa gave him a letter. See? He said, now you are squeezed a bit tightly, but if you will sit down and then gradually lie down and occupy the big space, in this way he was talking. So he was encouraging like that, that even though right now it's difficult for you all there in Austin, if you will just, in this way, you know, somehow get your foothold and then gradually lie down and occupy the big space. Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada recommended that the temple should stay open. You see. He tells Sri the president, I've heard from Sankarshan that you wanted to close the temple, but no, you should keep it open. He ordered him to keep the temple open. That I was willing to take responsibility for the temple, if necessary. So in this way, I can show you in the Veda base that later, you send me an email, I can send you the letters if you'd like to see them in detail. I don't remember all the detail. Any other question? Yes. Yeah.
I'm just laying bricks. Well, sometimes we can sometimes feel like we're just laying bricks when we're doing service, and sometimes you feel, oh, we're doing it for Krishna.
Yeah.
How to
keep it always on the highest level? Well, that's why we have the Bhagavatam class. The Bhagavatam class is meant to give us vision of what we're actually doing here. It's very important. and Prabhupada's books are there. My exalted godbrother, Sriman Balabhadra Bhattacharya Prabhu, who used to distribute books in the Atlanta airport back in the heyday of book distribution there, when hundreds of books were going out every day. He would go out and he would say, whenever my mind gets blown, I sit down and read Prabhupada's books. And that would inspire him. That would give him the vision of what I'm doing here, approaching all these non-devotees with the books, you see. And if the books are that powerful and your mind loses the vision, then sit down and read. Just take some time out. Okay, I'm here on Sankirtan, but I'm losing the vision now. With all this contact with mundane people, I'm losing the vision. Now let me just take a break, sit down and read. You see. And he would read the books and he would get the vision back and he'd go back to distributing books again. So Prabhupada's books are the greatest tool for vision. It is called Shastras Chakshus, you see. One who sees through the eyes of the scripture. If we hear Shastra Chakshus, we will have that vision of how our activities are for our revolutionary activities, for turning history upside down, you see, completely changing the course of modern day history. Actually, we should keep that enthusiasm, because any time the whole thing can turn around. Some of the biggest changes in history happened on some very small thing happened. It set off a chain reaction. You see. So big changes in history actually start with some. Just like the negative way, of course, Sringi cursed the king, and then a whole chain reaction came from that. So you never know what. But how the ramifications of giving somebody a book can be. You give somebody a book who happens to know somebody who knows somebody who knows the prime minister, you know. And the prime minister ends up getting a book and he decides to become a devotee. I mean, you never know what's going to happen when you're distributing books. So we should always just try to be, you know, a servant of this. Of this revolution that Prabhupada has inaugurated. And keep that vision always at all times. And you never know what's going to happen. You never know what amazing things can happen by this preaching work. Any other questions? Yes, that means unless you are, one should not take sannyas. Of course, Prabhupada awarded sannyas also. One should not take sannyas unless one is really fixed. One should not take sannyas as a matter of show, you see, for name and fame. That happens sometimes in our movement. You know, devotees would take it for some name and fame, you know. But then, once you get there, you realize it's not what you thought it was. It's a great austerity. It's not a big thing. Oh, now I get the Mahablade. You know, kind of a thing. It's a great austerity, actually, taking sannyas. So unless one has given up the mood of enjoyment and is in the mood of embracing austerity, one is not suited for sannyas. Does that answer your question? Anything else? Yes. Prayer in 5:18:9. Yeah, it's a wonderful prayer. Swasti astu. Svastyastu Vishvasham. Yeah, it's a wonderful prayer. I haven't memorized it yet, but I'm working on it. It's a wonderful, wonderful prayer. May there be all auspiciousness throughout the universe. In this way, So that if one wants to be in the revolutionary mood, this prayer is perfect. One is actually praying that the whole world can become Krishna conscious. It's a great prayer for some devotees going out on book distribution to recite. Because it's the mood of, may everyone now become awakened in Krishna consciousness. It's a wonderful prayer coming down from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anything else? Okay then. Thank you all very much for your so kindly hearing these descriptions of the glories of the name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, and paraphernalia of that unlimitedly merciful, amazing personality, Lord Sri Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.